Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to STEM Spots. I'm going to just talk a little bit this morning, as I sometimes do. The topic of a conversation is emotion in science or emotion in physics. And I want to talk about it in the context of our youth. When you think about things that resonate with us, let's think about music or smells, maybe taste in clothes and various other kinds of perception. Usually one harkens back to youth. People sort of develop their taste in music. I was talking to my audio engineer, Robert, and he and I were discussing about how you usually fixate between the ages of 12 and 18 and sort of establish your taste in music, maybe clothes and other kinds of things. And most of the time you do that because of emotional connections you make. Somehow it ties into something that's very important to you, or a period of time in your life where you're open. And then later, as you become more closed off, which is usually typically the case, you hearken back and something ties into an innate feeling in you of emotional connection. And you think to yourself, well, that's not really science. That's all these other kinds of things. But I want to think about the kinds of things that you think about as a kid when you think about science. And I like to say that you think about rocks, stars, goop, and bugs. And so most kids, when they think about science, they connect to the natural world and they connect to these things. They look up into the sky. They maybe pick up rocks. I know I picked up a tremendous number of rocks as a child. I still like to pick up rocks. They think about goo, whether it's goo around the house, various kinds of household products, or who knows what other kinds of goo. My kids used to make all sorts of bizarre goo. And they also think about the biological world, many times plants, but a lot of times bugs and things that crawl and things that they see, various kinds of animals. And the kinds of things that this evoke in them are things like wonder, questioning, curiosity, and awe, and those kinds of things. They're connecting to the natural world, and yes, they're connecting in an intellectual way, but they're primarily connecting, at least early on, through an emotional connection. And sort of that kind of wonder and awe, they refer back to it in their entire life, and they start to think to themselves about things and say, I remember when I looked up and the connection I felt, whatever kind of connection it was. And so the great thing about science is that you can move forward in your life, and you can actually start to continually use that as you start to, let's say, degrade science and degrade the natural world by making it into a series of facts or other kinds of things. And so many people think about science and they think, well, science is just this series of boring facts. It's just a series of classifications and rules and other kinds of things. But really, for a scientist, if you're lucky and you think about this your whole life, it becomes instead a way of life. Instead of thinking about what kinds of colors do I use and what's the specific texture and makeup of the paint I use as an artist, instead you're thinking about the process that you go through. And as a scientist, hopefully you do the same thing. You think about the world, you look at the natural world, but instead of making it just a series of mechanistic things, it becomes actually tied to your emotional content. It becomes as emotional for you as looking at a piece of art. It evokes the same emotions and makes you respond in the same way. It's not just something that is a series of facts. That's probably, in my opinion, the hardest thing for people to come to grips with. If they don't think that way themselves, if they don't connect to science in that way, then for them, it's many times going to be just a series of exercises, just a series of equations, just a series of hoops to jump through so that perhaps they can get a job, or perhaps they can talk in some intelligible way about, oh, I don't know, computers or technology, or perhaps because they want to impress someone. Whatever it is, a series of credentials perhaps. But for most scientists, that's not the way it really works. Hopefully you make this emotional connection, and it's in the way you do business, it's in the day-to-day living that you do where science makes this difference in your life. And this difference is an emotional difference as much as it is an intellectual difference. You know, my favorite American scientist, physicist, is Richard Feynman. Of course, he's long gone, but he said some amazing things and he was quite a raconteur. He had a quote, and here's a quote from Richard Feynman. Poets say science takes away from the beauty of the stars, mere globs of gas atoms. I too can see the stars on a desert night and feel them, but do I see less or more? The vastness of the heavens stretches my imagination. Stuck on this carousel, my little eye can catch 1 million-year-old light, a vast pattern of which I am a part. What is the pattern, or the meaning, or the why? It does not do harm to the mystery to know a little bit about it, for far more marvelous is the truth than any artist of the past imagined it. Why do the poets of the present not speak of it? What men are poets who can speak of Jupiter if he were a man? But if he is an immense spinning sphere of methane and ammonia, must be silent. This is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.